bold, slanting letters glide across a black background. Dimension Films. Light from an open door spills into an eerie room where a chair and a book spin in the air. The door slams shut, and a stringy-haired girl notices us. A flickering light bulb swings over words, forming a logo in a corner. Blumhouse Productions. Old news footage plays, and a date appears. 1974.
We have six men that were found last night in bed, shot, and killed.
In 1965, Ronald DeFeo moved his family from Brooklyn into a beautiful three-story home in Amityville, Long Island. Envisioning a better life for themselves, they even put a sign in front of the house saying, High Hopes. Then things went terribly wrong.
Newspapers report the shooting of six family members, and a photo shows a girl's bloody corpse. An officer leads a long-haired, bearded man.
Rumors have been circulating that there is something dark and evil about the house. That the house somehow drove Ronnie DeFeo to commit this grisly act.
The footage ends on a Dutch colonial-style house, then cuts to black. Nighttime. A roving view settles on the same house, closing in on the two-quarter round windows on the top floor. 40 years later. Titles appear over an aerial view of a car driving down a wooded highway. Dimension Films presents a Blumhouse, Panic Ventures, Barron Films production. Jennifer Jason Leigh. Bella Thorne. In the car's back seat, a blonde girl sleeps with her head against another passenger. A German Shepherd sits with its chin on her lap. A copper-haired teen opens her heavily made-up eyes. Behind the wheel, a woman with dirty blonde hair glances in the rearview mirror at an ambulance following them. She pulls into the driveway of the Dutch colonial home nestled among the trees. Cameron Monaghan, Thomas Mann, Jennifer Morrison, and Kurtwood Smith.
Okay. We're home.
The ambulance pulls in behind them. Taylor Spreitler, McKenna Grace. Wearing boots and a black top with net sleeves, the copper-haired teen walks toward the house. The German Shepherd follows the blonde girl as she climbs out of the car. The teen looks back, then opens the crimson-colored front door. Our view creeps through the entrance into the foyer, where a staircase leads to a second floor. Rounding a corner, the copper-haired teen enters a living room lined with moving boxes and old wallpaper. She looks at a set of windowed doors. In the room, the dog scratches at the floor. The teen enters.
Well, Larry, you little sneaky bastard. How'd you even get in here?
She looks behind her. On the second floor, a labeled moving box reads, James' bedroom. The copper-haired teen glances around as she ascends the staircase.
Juliet? You up here?
Moving on, she approaches another set of stairs.
Hello?
The teen walks up the short staircase and enters a large bedroom. Light shines in through the two-quarter windows on the far wall. The teen crosses the bright space and a title appears in red. Amityville, The Awakening. Opening a box labeled Bell, the teen pulls out a framed family photo. It shows a woman and man sitting with a small blonde girl, a copper-haired preteen girl, and a preteen boy. A fly lands on the frame, and Bell shoos it away. Looking off, she sets the photo back in the box and approaches a square window. Outside, a slender woman hugs the woman with dirty blonde hair.
Joan! Hey. Oh, you guys made it. How was the ride?
You know what? We're doing good.
You guys are back in town.
Thank you so much for helping with all this.
What are sisters for?
Men carry a red-haired, comatose teen boy into the house. A roving view shows cobwebs on a basement ceiling. At the front door, the slender woman faces Joan.
Have you told him about...
No. I just want us to get settled in first. Okay,
well, I have everything set up the way you wanted, if you want to check it out.
Belle creeps downstairs.
I set up an emergency backup battery just in case. You never know with these old houses. And... you know we're only 5 minutes on the road, so you say the word if you need anything. We'll be there.
Thank you. We've pretty much gotten to a routine now, so...
Well, I'm glad you're here. Everything's gonna be fine. What did Dr. Milton say?
Same as usual.
Joan shuts the door.
I'm not gonna give up fighting.
She glares at Belle.
Of course.
At night, in a small dining room.
All right, everybody, dig in.
Aren't we gonna say grace?
You hate saying grace.
Never stopped you before.
Well, maybe I'm embracing the change.
I'll do it. Dear Lord, thank you for this food and for this house and for keeping James safe and happy. Amen.
Jules, how do you like your room?
Awesome. It's got pink, purple, silver, and gold. All my favorite colors.
Did you get all your paperwork done for tomorrow?
Yep.
How does it look, all right?
Yeah, it looks great. Besides the fact that I have to move to a completely new school and start all over again in my senior year.
We all have to make sacrifices. Quiet boy!
And what part of sacrifice does this house fit into? It's three times as big as our last one.
I told you, we got a deal.
Save a few bucks. It's good to know.
We moved here to be close to my family, to Candace. And St. Alkmund's has the best neurological department in New York. I want you to trust me, all right? This house is gonna be good for James.
And that's all that matters.
Right now, yes, that's all that matters. We all need to rally around him. That's the only way he's gonna get through this.
Get through what, Mom? I know James, okay? I know him better than you do. He's my twin. I can feel it. He's not there.
Then whose fault is that?
James is gone, Mom.
That's enough.
The teen storms off.
Belle?
Larry, come on.
Joan wears a somber expression. She looks over at Jules as the blonde girl picks at her food. Outside, Belle sits alone on a shabby dock overlooking a lake. The dog ambles over.
You still love me, don't you, Larry?
Even if you are stuck with that dumb name.
He starts licking a fish carcass.
Come on.
Belle stares at the house. Inside, the red-haired comatose teen lies in a hospital bed. Cracks mar his dry lips. Belle slowly enters the room filled with medical supplies and machines. As she approaches James's bedside, she awkwardly runs her hands down her ripped black jeans. She keeps her distance.
I miss talking to you.
A monitor shows a steady heart rate. Belle hesitantly moves closer, then takes a seat on the edge of her brother's bed. Tears well in her eyes as she looks at her twin. She slowly shakes her head.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Fighting back tears, Belle leans down and kisses his forehead. A fly lands on one of his curled, emaciated hands. James's finger twitches, and the fly soars off. Glimpses around the house show a ventilation grate, the dim basement, and the stairs leading to the second floor. The light shining from the quarter windows goes out. At a school, Belle wears dark makeup.
Let's go, people.
She faces a class.
Okay, guys, this is Belle. She just transferred here. Have a seat and take notes. We left off yesterday, page 38, 1862, the Civil War. Battlefield medicine. Clara Barton.
Check out the lipstick on Freaky Girl.
She ended up starting...
Belle glances at the giggling students.
What she did was...
A lanky teen behind her taps her shoulder.
...come out to the battlefield and take care of their sons, brothers.
It's not you.
What she did was revolutionize medicine...
It's the house.
Now you have to...
What house?
Back then, yeah, 112 Ocean Avenue.
She turns toward him.
Ugh, what are you, some kind of stalker?
What? No.
How do you know where I live?
Everyone knows where you live.
Please, just...
Hey. It's your first day. You might want to listen.
Nighttime. Lying in bed, Belle does homework. She wears a pair of pink underwear and a tattered t-shirt. She swipes at the air, then takes out her earbuds. The teen watches a fly and swats at it. It lands on a lampshade, and she swings her rolled notebook. It lands on the wall. Belle notices her peeling wallpaper. Inspecting it, she finds a dirty pattern underneath. She glances off. Stepping to the quarter window, she looks outside at a large circle of dead grass curving around the house. She turns. The teen descends the angled staircase leading from her room. She tries a light switch on the wall to no avail. She glances back, then continues out to the hallway. Descending the main staircase, she stops and peers down into the darkness. Belle eyes the closed window doors leading to her brother's room. She glances back toward the upstairs hall. Sliding her hand along the wall, she finds a switch. A ceiling light flickers on. Peeking around the corner, Belle notices an open window in the living room. She closes it. As she turns to walk away, the window reopens by itself. She closes it again, and a blonde girl appears on the other side of the glass. Jules stands in the foyer.
Juliet, you can't just...
A shadow creeps back from behind the door in James's room.
Just sneak up on people like that.
Sorry.
Belle crosses to her brother's room and opens the door. James lies motionless in bed. Belle closes the door. She faces Jules, who hugs a stuffed animal shaped like a seal.
What are you doing up?
I just wanted to talk to James. Doesn't James talk to you, Belle?
In a way, I guess.
Does he use bad words?
Belle knits her brow.
Why would you say that? Okay, party animal, it's sleepy time. Come here. 1, 2, 3. Oh, yes. Come on.
She carries Jules upstairs.
Belle?
Yes?
How come Mommy doesn't love you anymore?
Belle sets her sister down on the steps.
Who told you that?
They look towards James's room. Their mother steps out of her room and looks down from the landing. She descends the stairs.
Go back to bed, girls.
Joan enters her son's room. Belle looks at Jules.
You heard Mommy say go back to bed.
Joan checks her son's heart monitor.
James? It's his heart.
Sweetheart, stay with us, okay? Belle is here. Mommy's here.
Belle enters as her mom fills a syringe.
Good. All right, sweetheart. Doing great.
Joan injects an IV with a syringe's solution.
Who's my brave boy?
She smiles.
He's gonna be okay. All right, baby. Now. Okay, sweetie.
Joan looks at James's increasing heart rate on the monitor.
Baby? I don't understand. What's happening? Come on. It's too fast.
Jules arrives.
Come on. Come on, don't do this. Come on, baby. Shit!
Joan performs chest compressions on James. Glancing at the monitor, she speeds up her compressions.
Shh. Come on. Stay with me, James.
James.
Shh. Come on.
Mom.
It's over. That's what you want, isn't it?
It's what God would want.
Joan slaps her. Belle grabs her cheek and gapes at her mother. Jules steps to the bed. The monitor displays a normal heart rate. Joan kisses her son's cheek. Belle looks on with a confused expression.
I'm never going to stop fighting for you.
I'm so proud of you. Come see me.
Their mother lifts Jules onto the bed. Belle storms out.
Want to give him a kiss?
James's eyes open. Belle returns to the doorway. She spies her brother lying in bed, his eyes and mouth open.
I knew you'd come back.
James holds a motionless upward stare. Morning. In her room, Belle sleeps with Jules curled up in her arms. The girl begins to stir, then climbs out of bed. Still asleep, Belle rolls over. Downstairs, a roving view moves through the hallway to the small dining room. Sitting alone, Jules eats cereal. Belle enters.
Juliet? Who fixed you breakfast?
A mirror shows James's skeletal form.
Shit.
Language, honey. You want some granola?
In the school hallway, a passing student bumps Belle's shoulder. Belle glares, then notices girls from her class drawing on a locker. They spot her and hurry away. Belle looks at the picture depicting her house with a monstrous face. In the library, she watches archival news footage.
In 1965, Ronald DeFeo moved his family from Brooklyn into a beautiful three-story home in Amityville, Long Island. Then things went terribly wrong.
Are you still questioning Ronald DeFeo?
No comment.
Where is Mr. DeFeo?
What kind of a guy was Ronald DeFeo?
The lanky teen sits at the computer beside her.
Don't worry, I'm just stalking you.
Yeah, sorry about yesterday.
You know, you're not the first girl to mistake my basic human decency for perviness. You really didn't know?
No idea.
Man, I can't believe no one told you about that. Sick shit, right? Voices told him to do it. Took out the whole family, 6 people.
She starts to leave.
Wait, whoa, where are you going?
Well, I already missed the last 3 periods and I don't really want to transfer again.
Okay, wait. You ever see this? You recognize that house?
He holds the DVD case for The Amityville Horror. Belle walks off. At home, Joan opens a box of DVDs. Belle steps into the room.
We need to talk.
Good to see you, honey. How's school?
Why didn't you tell me about the house?
I've just been waiting for the right time.
And when would that be?
You know, it's just a ghost story, sweetie. It's an urban legend.
Yeah, that everyone at my school seems to know about.
You're right. I'm sorry. I should have told you. I really have had a lot on my mind.
Well, it would be nice if Juliet and I could be on your mind, too.
Let's sit down here.
Good talk.
Belle spots a crucifix in a box among other items. In the living room.
But it's an improvement, right? I mean, it has to be.
I know it may seem that way. But remember, the last time we checked, there was no brain activity at all.
But he opened his eyes. I mean, who's to say that he won't start speaking or even sitting up or something?
Joan, you know there are no documented cases of anyone with James's injuries ever recovering.
Then James will be the first.
Is there any way to be sure if there's any recovery?
It's highly unlikely. But I suppose we could do another fMRI.
Great. How much more shit do you want to put him through? Just leave him alone. Hasn't he suffered enough?
Belle storms out.
Sorry about that.
She crosses through the kitchen, then comes to a stop. She enters James's room through the kitchen door to find Jules sitting on the end of his bed.
Dee Dee likes to chase the ducks at the park. And it's
entertaining. Are you talking to James again?
Yeah.
What does James have to say this time?
He says he misses talking to you, too.
Belle stares. Their aunt joins them.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jules, your mom's gonna walk Larry. You wanna go with her?
Okay.
Belle lifts her off the bed.
Come here. 2, 3. Ooh, yeah. Belle, you know I don't want any more tests either.
Then why did you suggest it?
Because this test is going to show your mom what you and I already know. Did you know about the house?
She stares at Belle.
Please just go.
Belle crosses to James's bed. She watches her comatose brother. Nighttime. Lightning streaks across the dark sky. In her room, Belle looks at the peeling wallpaper. She pulls her bed away from the wall and inspects the paper closely. She slowly tears off a large section, revealing a floral pattern underneath. She finds a dark stain on the old wallpaper. Later, she looks at images of the house on a laptop. Photos show a shotgun and blood splattered on the floral wallpaper. Furrowing her brow, she looks at the stained wall in her bedroom. Later, our view roams past the small dining room. Lightning flashes on the walls above the main staircase. In Belle's room, a figure moves under the covers toward the top of the bed. Belle sleeps outside the blanket with her back turned. A clock reads 3:15.
Juliet, you can't keep doing this. Let's go over.
She briefly reaches behind her. Opening her eyes, she notices her hand covered in blood. She sits up. A flash shows blood-soaked sheets. Belle falls to the floor. She cautiously approaches the bed. A bloody hand grabs her shoulder, and she faces Ronnie DeFeo holding a shotgun. Belle wakes up in bed. She looks at her bedroom wall, where pieces of tape hold the torn wallpaper in place. At school, the lanky teen joins Belle at a lunch table.
Happy Monday!
Belle, this is Marissa. She's my girlfriend.
You wish.
This is my friend Belle.
You wish.
Wow!
All kinds of love for Terrence today. See how it is?
The student pushes him.
See you later, man. Thanks, guys. So, yeah, Marissa didn't believe me when I said I knew you, so I thought you guys should meet.
Marissa sits across from Belle.
What's up?
Later, the three teens leave the school.
God, I would kill my mom if she did something like that without telling me.
Yeah, well, talking's not really big at my house, so...
Yeah, well, thank God none of this Amityville shit is real.
Whoa, that all depends on your definition of real. You know, someone's talking a lot about something, your mind starts playing tricks on you to make you think it's real.
According to who?
Science.
Well, I'm really over this Amityville stuff anyway. My family's got enough demons to deal with. I don't need fictional ones, too.
I don't know, maybe that's exactly what you need. Hey, we should watch the movie.
No, thanks.
Come on, that's what horror movies are all about, like escaping reality with your friends for a little while. It's fun.
Okay, fine. Let's watch it at your house.
No, your house. Come on. How often do you get to watch the Amityville Horror at the actual Amityville house?
Okay, sure.
Awesome. Okay, we have to watch it at 3:15 a.m., though.
Why? Because that's when Ronnie DeFeo murdered his family.
And that's when the house comes alive.
Belle studies him. Nighttime. In the darkened house, our view moves across the upstairs landing. In her room, Joan sleeps in bed. She rustles in her sleep.
Oh, you're in.
A photo on the mantle shows Joan and her kids. Downstairs, Belle grabs a bottle of water from the fridge and takes a drink. She looks around. She closes the fridge, then moves slowly across the kitchen. She steps to the door leading to James's room and slowly pushes it open.
Shit, Mary.
The dog runs out.
What? What? Come on, you see something? What do you see? What do you see?
She looks out the window of the back door. Terrence takes off his pig mask.
Oh, that was great.
Go, Larry.
Oh, man.
Look, I told him not to do that.
Oh, you should have seen your face.
You guys seriously have to be quiet. You don't want to wake up my mom.
Sorry. Wow, this place is amazing. Is that a bounding circle in the backyard?
A bounding circle?
Yeah, like hundreds of years ago, like colonial times. There used to be all this weird occult shit going on around here, so if they thought an area was evil, they would do a ring around it with, like, salt or fire or whatever to try and keep the evil contained.
Yeah, or maybe the gardener just got a little carried away with the weed killer. All right, so, I thought we were here to watch a movie.
Belle walks away.
Yes.
Terrence and Marissa follow.
Yeah, I've seen the movie a dozen times.
Shut
up. I've never been inside the actual
house. Okay, I'm going to punch you in the actual mouth if you don't shut up.
Oh, yeah? Is that a threat or a promise?
Gross.
Marissa playfully pushes him, then walks off. Terrence creeps towards James's room.
What's in there?
Belle shuts the door.
Nothing. Let's go.
Terrence shrugs at Marissa. In the living room, he takes DVDs out of his backpack.
Okay, so... you've got the original 1979 film starring James... starring James Brolin and Margot Kidder. But just in case, I brought the Amityville 2, which is technically a prequel, so I don't know if you like that. Anyway. Then, of course, there's the remake.
No way. Yeah, remakes totally blow.
Agreed. All right. The original it is.
Marissa and Belle share a grin.
So, how'd you girls like to be the bread in a Terrence sandwich?
In your dreams.
They watch the movie.
This house is built on special ground. Satan worship. Demons. You cannot destroy this evil. It will always find a place to dwell. Something or someone to latch onto.
A character uses an axe to break through a brick wall, revealing Red on the other side. Belle watches intently. Behind Belle, the door to James's room slowly opens.
Come and go through here.
The teens continue watching. Belle glances off.
I know well.
She looks at the windowed door.
The passage.
The lights in the room flicker, then turn off.
What?
In James's room, a piece of equipment lights up and shows an alert. Battery power.
Holy shit. It's 3:15 on the dot.
No, it's not.
I swear, look.
What did you do?
What? Nothing.
I really hope not. I gotta get the lights back on.
It's probably just a fuse.
Yeah, well, we need to fix it. Or else I'm gonna have to wake up my mom. Okay, then where's the fuse box?
In his room, James lies still, his breathing steady. A shadow passes his door. The teens move through the dark foyer.
I think it's under the stairs.
They continue down the hall. Terrence opens a door underneath the steps. They look down a flight of stairs leading to the basement.
Oh, great. The basement of the Amityville house. That's perfect. I haven't been down there yet.
Hold on. I got this.
Using a light on his cell phone, Terrence looks down from the top of the stairs.
Who wants to go first?
The teens look at Belle, who steps forward. Using her phone flashlight, she moves down the steps. Terrence and Marissa follow her into the dark basement.
Oh, God, what's that smell? Just try and find the fuse box.
Wow.
What?
Under the stairs. It's where they discovered the Red Room. Whatever is in there gets inside your head.
Wouldn't find much in your head.
They say this house makes you see things. It infects your dreams until you can't tell what's real and what's nightmare. Then boom. Blood splatter and brain matter everywhere.
Can we please just find the fuse box so we can get out of here?
Marissa looks around anxiously. Belle scans a wall with her light.
Hey, I think I found it.
Terrence joins her at an old fuse box. Marissa glances around.
My phone is dead.
Terrence turns on a fuse, which sparks. Ronnie DeFeo aims a shotgun. Now Joan aims a shotgun.
What the hell are you doing down here? I could have killed you.
We'll let ourselves out.
Yeah, nice meeting you.
Upstairs.
Since when do you carry a shotgun? Jesus. It was your father's for protection. Well, I really don't think I need protection from my friends, but thanks.
You are not allowed to have friends over without asking me. You know how easy it is for James to get sick?
What are you talking about? They weren't anywhere near him.
Someone was in his room.
The door was open when they came over, but I shut it.
Then who took his blanket off?
He's not some sideshow attraction. Go to bed.
Belle looks at her brother. The doctor studies James.
It's possible that he has something called LIS, locked-in syndrome.
Does that mean he's conscious?
No. It means he may have a sort of consciousness, but he's locked into an inactive body.
So he is getting better?
Well, looking at this fMRI scan and seeing the return of some limited eye mobility, it would appear so.
And this thing will tell us for sure?
The EEG machine measures brainwaves. The more activity on this monitor, the stronger the emotional response. You ready to give it a try?
Joe nods.
All right. Step into his line of sight.
She paces to James's side and stands in front of his cold, unmoving gaze. She touches his shoulder.
Hi, Jimmy. Hey.
The goateed doctor monitors the EEG machine. Joan glances over, then looks at her son.
Jimmy.
That's a definite response.
Joan reaches for her sister.
Candace. Belle, come closer.
Candace sits at the foot of the bed, and Belle cautiously steps closer. The lines on the EEG monitor rapidly pulsate. James holds a firm gaze on his mother, whose eyes roll back. She falls, and Candace and Belle catch her.
Mom? Your brother's back.
Belle and Candace lead Joan from the room.
It's just a fly, James. Don't worry about that.
The doctor swipes away flies. He spots a maggot crawling across the bed. James watches him. The doctor rolls the teen over, finding maggots crawling in a slimy pool of blood. A swarm of flies billows out. In the living room, Belle stands and listens. The flies swarm around the doctor and fly into his mouth. Belle stands in the doorway, watching the doctor choke. The fly is now gone. He notices her and glances around in shock. He paws at his mouth.
What's going on?
The disturbed doctor grabs his laptop and stethoscope.
I'm sorry, I can't really explain it, but I don't think I can do any more for you.
He leaves.
Dr. Milton?
Candace follows him out. Belle glances at James, who holds a steady gaze. At night, Joan sits at James's bedside with the room doors closed. His eyes flutter open.
You're doing great. You're doing so great.
He looks around.
I love you so much.
She kisses his cheek.
Come on. Strange, just move that thumb up.
James's hand remains still.
Do you want me to rub your feet? You can blink once for yes.
He holds his gaze on her.
That's okay. That's okay.
She rubs his clenched feet.
When this first happened, Belle said, Jimmy will never give up.
The dog pushes open the door.
Okay. Out! Out! Go now! Hey, hey, hey! Out, Larry! Bad dog!
Larry slinks out of the room.
Don't worry, I'll never let him hurt you.
James stares at her with glistening eyes. Joan releases his hand. She kisses his forehead and turns out the light as she leaves the room. In the hallway, moonlight shines through the window blinds, partly illuminating a framed needlework reading Home Sweet Home. In Belle's room, the digital clock on her nightstand strikes 3:15. The teen lies sleeping in bed. In her own room, Jules awakens. She sits up in bed and looks out her slightly open doorway. A shadow appears on the wall behind the banister, and Jules covers her head with a crochet blanket. Through the gaps in the yarn, she watches her bedroom door swing open. Jules lowers the blanket and stares at the empty entrance. She holds her seal stuffed animal to her chest. Her closet door opens. Jules stares at the clothes hanging inside.
James, is that you?
The girl fidgets fearfully.
What do you want?
Come here.
Jules cautiously climbs out of bed. She paces to the closet. Jules peers inside, scanning the clothes and a collection of dolls on a shelf.
Where are you, James?
The door slams shut. Crouching under a desk, James bares sharp fangs.
Juliet?
Belle looks into her sister's room and finds the bed empty. The teen goes downstairs.
Jules, where are you?
She pauses on the landing, then slowly descends a few more steps. Belle peers into James's room and spots Joan standing with her back turned. A skeletal hand with pale skin runs down her bare shoulder and back. Belle covers her mouth in shock. Joan glances over her shoulder. She gazes at Belle with a blank expression, then turns away. Belle sneaks back upstairs. In her room, she spots a figure sleeping in her bed. The teen slowly climbs the stairs, her gaze locked on the sleeping figure with long hair. She steps close to the bed. The figure startles awake, revealing herself as Belle. James stands nearby.
Asus.
He aims a gun. Belle awakens in bed and glances around. Lightning flashes outside. Daytime. In James's room, Candace and Joan sit on either side of the bed.
Start with just yes or no questions.
Okay.
Dr. Melton said that would be easiest for him.
Okay.
Joan dabs her son's mouth with a tissue.
Jimmy? Sweetie? Do you recognize me?
Belle arrives home.
Belle? James wants to talk to Dee Dee. Will you help me find him?
Belle stares off. She opens the door to her brother's room, where a monitor displays a specialized keyboard and words.
Belle, come say hi to your brother.
He's talking to us through the computer. It's amazing. Come see.
Belle approaches, and Joan takes her hand.
It's called an AAC. He can use his eyes to choose letters so he can communicate.
You can talk to your brother again, right? What do you want to say to him?
I don't know.
Just talk to him slowly.
Belle sits at the bedside and gazes at her brother.
Is that really you in there?
He looks at the computer monitor. The word yes appears. Belle smiles.
That's so cool.
I miss you.
The screen reads, miss you.
Me too.
James looks at the monitor again. Belle looks at the screen, and her face falls. James writes, "Forgive you." Belle gazes at him, and he closes his eyes. Joan hugs her daughter. Candace gazes sympathetically at Belle. In her bedroom, Belle meets with Marissa.
I just never really told anybody about this.
You don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
No, I should. I really think I need to.
Belle sits on the bed beside her friend.
I was having a lot of problems with my family and with school, in and out of a lot of different programs. And I just started doing stupid shit. I sent these pictures to some guy, and when I woke up the next morning, they were all over the internet. They were everywhere. Everyone had seen them. Everyone at school, and my mom, and my brother. So what happened? James wanted to find the guy who did it, and he lived in a three-story apartment building. There's a really big fight, and he went over the balcony.
Marissa touches Belle's arm.
Look, you didn't do anything wrong. You know that, right?
You know, I really want to believe that. And I keep telling myself it was his choice. He would do it again in a heartbeat. I know he would, because that's just who he was.
That's who he is. Belle, he's still alive. You just talked to him.
Belle stares off, shaking her head. At night, the door to James's room hangs partially open. A roving view slowly moves toward the stairs to Belle's room. In bed, Belle lies sleeping. A gaunt figure inches around the corner into a doorway. His hands curled in front of him, James peers at his sister. She stirs and looks across the room at the now empty doorway. In the school library, Belle highlights a sentence in a book. It reads, "Unfortunately, the vegetative state is irreversible despite recent advances in neuroscience." Terrence drops a copy of the Amityville Horror book in front of her.
You're reading the wrong book. You know it.
In an aisle.
All I'm saying is it's a little weird that your brother's in a coma for 2 years, and the minute you move into this new house, he miraculously gets better.
I don't know.
Unless, of course, it's not really him anymore.
What are you talking about?
He's talking about a possession.
Yeah. In 1974, the house drives Ryan DeFeo to kill his whole family. A year later, Neely drives the next family to do the exact same thing.
And they blamed it on the Red Room that they discovered right there, in the basement. See, it's right under your brother's bed.
So you're saying this evil thing latched onto my brother?
Okay, whoa. Look, I hate to bring everyone back down to earth, but other families have lived in that house. Nothing scary has happened there for 40 years.
40 years, that's a very significant number in the Bible. And the land had peace 40 years. So maybe the evil only latches on every 40 years.
Dude, seriously, the Bible? Look, Belle, you're not actually buying this shit, are you?
Well, you said he can talk now, right? So why don't you just ask him yourself?
Yeah, it's the worst that could happen.
At home, James lies in bed. Belle stands in the doorway with her arms folded. Stepping into the room, she holds her stare on her brother. James opens his eyes, and Belle sits beside him. She rubs the sheet covering his hand, then turns on the monitor above the bed. He looks from the monitor to his sister. Belle shifts her weight as she watches him.
I need to ask you a question. You okay with that?
James looks at the monitor. The word yes appears on screen. Belle lowers her stare, hesitating.
Is someone else in there with you?
He looks at the monitor. The word yes appears. Belle furrows her brow, and James looks at the screen. He spells the word help.
What can I do to stop it? How can I help you?
The monitor reads, kill me.
No. No, I can't do that.
James types, please.
No.
He types, kill me. He gives her a pleading look, then types the word, please, again. Belle shakes her head as tears streak down her face. She hugs him. James shuts his eyes, and a tear falls down his cheek. Sitting up, Belle looks at him.
Are you sure you want me to do this?
James types, yes. Belle carefully reaches for his breathing tube. She removes it from his throat. He stares at her. She presses a button on a machine. James opens his mouth and tries to draw a breath. He shuts his eyes. Belle stares at her brother. She shuts down the medical system. James grabs her hair.
You're the one who's gonna fucking die!
He falls back in bed. His dark eyes turn clear as he looks at the monitor. He types, get out, several times. Belle takes a closer look at the screen. She stares at James. Joan arrives.
What's going on? Jimmy, okay? What did you do?
What did you do?
You have no right to do this.
She looks closely at James. His chest heaves.
He's breathing. He's breathing on his own.
Jimmy wants to live. He deserves to live. Get out. If you touch him again, I swear.
Joan glares at Belle. Later, the teen sits alone on her bed. With a distant stare, she holds a pillow to her chest. Daytime. At school, Belle faces Terrence and Marissa.
It's bad enough that he's trapped in his own body, and now he's... What? He's... There's something in there with him? What am I gonna do? I have to help him.
Look, Belle, you have to help your entire family, okay? I mean, whatever's in there with James, if it wins, you know, if it takes over completely, it will kill everyone. Belle, you gotta get your family out of there. Or we have to prove it to your mom somehow. Find a way to show her that your brother is being controlled by whatever is in that house.
Wearing a thoughtful expression, Belle rushes off. At home, James sleeps in his room. Belle stands beside him. She carefully reaches for the monitor over his bed. Using the keyboard, she types the word outside. She glances at James, who remains asleep. Belle types the word walk. Upstairs, Jules sits alone in her room. Belle walks upstairs and quickly crosses the landing.
Belle?
She stops.
Why aren't you in school?
I wasn't feeling well.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure I'll be fine.
No, I'm sorry about last night.
Belle turns to face her mother.
For what?
If you hadn't pulled Jimmy off the respirator, we wouldn't know that he could breathe on his own. I know you were doing what you thought was right. But now you know how wrong it is, right? Jimmy was always going to come back.
Joan steps closer to her daughter.
You do want us to be a family again, don't you, Belle?
Of course.
Good.
She feels Belle's forehead.
Get some rest, sweetie. I love you.
Joan shuffles off. Downstairs, she uses hand sanitizer.
Hey, James, how are you doing today?
He opens his eyes and glances up at her. Looking at the monitor, his eyes widen. Joan smiles as she reads the message.
Outside walk. Those are your biggest words yet. You're doing so great. Yes, we can.
James shifts his gaze. In the basement, Belle looks at a layout of the house. She stares at the wood-paneled wall beneath the stairs. Outside, Joan pushes James in a wheelchair. Candace walks with them. In the basement, Belle watches from a window, then sets her bag aside and takes off her jacket. Outside, Jules walks across the lawn. Belle pushes aside an old spring bed frame. Jules approaches a dock.
Honey, be careful by the water, okay?
Okay.
Belle tears a piece of paneling from the wall. She picks up an axe. Outside, Jules slowly crosses the dock over the dark, cloudy water. In the basement, Belle removes the paneling with the axe, revealing a brick wall. Jules continues down the dock. Belle swings the axe at the brick wall. She breaks through.
I don't know why it's so hard for everyone to believe he's getting better.
Well, he's getting better, but don't you want to know why?
Belle removes a brick from the wall. She peers through the hole and finds a small red-tinted room.
I think a second opinion would be good, too.
We can do that. Second opinion's okay. Have you asked Dr. Milton about this?
I haven't been in contact with him yet.
James shakes as they approach the circular line cut in the lawn. In the basement, Belle clears a path and steps into the red room. A dark, slimy substance runs down a wall. Outside, Jules peers over the edge of the dock. She stares at something beneath the cloudy water. In the basement, Belle studies the substance on the wall. Outside, an object rises to the surface of the water. In the basement,
Juliet!
Belle hurries out.
What happened? Are you okay? Come here, baby. Come on. What's wrong? You tell me, what's wrong?
It's Larry.
Candace spots the dead dog in the water.
Don't look at her.
Belle runs onto the lawn. She spots James trembling in the wheelchair.
Is that a bounding circle, sir?
A bounding circle?
They thought Mary was evil. They would do a ring around it with like salt or fire or whatever to try and keep the evil contained.
It's gonna be okay.
Belle looks at the bounding circle, then at James. Standing behind the wheelchair, Joan rests her hand on her son's shoulder. In the red room, words scratched on a slimy brick wall read, "Kill them all." Nighttime. In James's room, a close view shows a ventilation grate. James sleeps in bed. Belle watches her mother and Candace outside.
Okay. All right, that's great. Thank you. So the vet can be here first thing tomorrow morning to pick up the body.
Thank you for doing this. Thanks for everything.
Of course.
They hug.
Joan. Don't worry about it.
I know.
And Juliet is going to be okay.
I know.
How about I come by and check on everybody after my shift tonight? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Belle steps away. Later, she stands at her room window and looks at the bounding circle on the lawn. She lowers her stare.
You can't leave the house.
In the hallway.
Hey, Mom, I need to talk to you. Mom,
stop.
Are you listening to me? Look, I know you're gonna think I'm crazy, okay? But I got a really bad feeling about this house. I think it's doing something to James. It's like possessing him or infecting him. I don't know. There's this room in the basement, okay? I've been down there. I've seen it myself. I swear, I think that's what's making him all of a sudden better. Please say something.
I don't think you're crazy, sweetheart. I know about the red room.
Come here.
Joan sits on her bed. Belle steps into the room and joins her.
Wait, what did you just say?
You know, I always believed in God. And then your father got sick. We had to watch him rot away from the inside from cancer. Every day I prayed. And then James got sick. But still I prayed. 2 years. The doctors were giving up on him, right? They said he'd never come out. I won't accept that.
What are you talking about?
God gave up on us, sweetheart. So I gave up on God. And I moved us here. Because if there is some power that can make your brother better.
Better? No, Mom, you don't understand. James isn't better. His house is evil. His house is really bad. It's gonna drive James to kill our whole family, just like the DeFeos. You, me, Juliet.
Shh, stop. Stop, come here. No. James would never do that. Okay. He would never do that. He's getting better.
Joan hugs her daughter. In Jules's darkened bedroom, Belle pulls clothes out of a dresser drawer and puts them in a pink backpack. She crosses to her sleeping sister. Belle glances into the hallway, then steps out. In her room, Joan sleeps in bed. Belle digs through her mother's dresser drawer. She rummages around and finds cash in a small box. Joan hits her with the butt of a gun. Lying in bed, Belle stirs. She brings a hand to her face, and her eyes roll open. The teen glances at her palm. She lifts her head and stares off. Struggling to sit up, she touches her forehead. Later, Belle approaches the dark staircase leading from her room. she descends to the second floor, but stops in the doorway. Knitting her brow, she continues downstairs toward the windowed doors. In place of James's room, she finds her mother and Jules sitting at a dining table. Joan smiles at her.
Hi, honey. Come sit down. We're just about to start dinner.
Hey, guess what, Belle?
Chicken smells great, Mom.
With a healthy physique, James enters.
Oh, hey, Belle. How'd you sleep?
I hope you're hungry. Mom made all this great food.
Belle slowly steps into the formal dining room and takes a seat at the table.
Juliet, pass the chicken, please.
Jules obeys.
So strong.
James looks at Belle, who searches for words.
Where's Chabet?
In his room. It's about time we had a proper dining room.
James starts to eat.
Jimmy.
Joan reaches out for Jules and Belle.
Of course.
James takes Jules' hand and offers his other hand to Belle. She hesitantly takes it.
Dad would be so happy to see us all here together.
He looks at Joan.
Don't you think, Mom?
Yes, I do.
Blood drips onto Belle's plate. A deep cut mars her forehead, and she wipes droplets from her brow. Sitting up in bed, Belle wipes blood from her face. The clock on her nightstand changes to 3:15. Downstairs, James's eyes open. In the red room, words appear on the bricks. Kill them all. In her room, Jules sleeps soundly. Her door swings closed. In bed, James pulls his gnarled hands from under the covers and extends his arms. He grips the bed railings. The door to Belle's room swings closed. She rises from the bed. In her own room, Joan sleeps. Belle looks down at her closed door. She descends the steps and tries the doorknob. Downstairs, James hobbles across the house wearing only boxers. He enters the basement. Belle pushes against her door. A close view shows the hole leading to the red room. James approaches it. Hunching his emaciated form, he climbs through the opening. Jules notices headlights shining on her wall and hurries up the stairs. Outside, a car pulls up to the house. James steps into the red room. Belle hurries to her bedroom window and looks out. Her aunt steps out of the car.
Candace?
Belle tries to open the window.
Candace?
In the red room, James places his hands against a wall. His body starts to change. Belle pounds against her window.
Don't come in! Please!
Candace approaches the house. James's fingers uncurl as his body mass returns to a healthy physique. He looks off. Outside, Candace notices the open back door. Belle looks at her bedroom door, which now stands open. Candace enters the kitchen and closes the back door behind her.
Joan?
Belle descends her room steps. Candace looks off.
Belle?
James aims a gun. Belle hides back. Jules and Joan wake. James lowers the shotgun as he enters the kitchen. Joan tries to open her bedroom door.
Belle?
James reaches over Candace's body and closes the door.
Juliet, Belle?
Joan approaches another door to her room, and it slams shut. The windows close. Belle crosses the landing. James stalks through the dining room, holding the shotgun. Belle approaches her sister's door. James approaches the main stairs.
Belle?
She faces Jules.
What's wrong with Mommy?
Belle spots her brother approaching. He looks up, but finds no one.
Hello?
Continuing to the second floor, he rests the shotgun on his shoulder. He looks at Belle's staircase, which stands empty. James approaches Jules' door and listens.
Juliet.
He opens the door. Entering the room, he aims the shotgun at a lump under the bed covers. Joan stands at her door. Particles fall around James as he exits his younger sister's room. In the closet, Belle holds a hand over Jules' mouth. Wearing a dazed expression, Joan shuffles over to her dresser. She opens a drawer. On the landing, James approaches his mother's room. He holds the shotgun behind his back. Joan sits on the bed, clutching the crucifix in her hands. Smiling, James keeps the shotgun hidden as he enters her room. Downstairs, Belle carries Jules to the front door and tries to open it. James reveals the shotgun, and Joan backs away from him.
What are you doing with that? Don't you recognize me, baby?
He aims at her.
Oh, God, no.
God has nothing to do with this.
Damn you to hell!
He blows off her hand.
Too late.
James grabs his mother by the hair. He throws her face down on the bed and aims. Belle ushers her sister through the house. Passing Jules' room, James looks inside. He notices the open closet door. The seal stuffed animal lies on the floor. James heads out toward the landing. In her brother's room, Belle hides behind the bed. She notices James's shadow on the other side of the door and ducks down.
I left you standing.
She covers her sister's mouth. James pushes open the door. Knitting her blood-stained brow, Belle peeks over the bed. The door stands slightly open with no one behind it. Getting onto her hands and knees, Belle crawls away from Jules and peeks around the bed.
Where are you going?
The dog's animated corpse enters. Jules looks on.
Is that Larry?
No, baby. I want you to go to the next door neighbor's house and wait for me, okay?
Jules runs as Larry charges. Belle grabs a knife from the kitchen. Larry tackles Belle, and Jules runs into James.
There you are, sweetie.
Belle stabs the German Shepherd. She rises and wipes the blood from her forehead. The teen looks off. In Belle's room, James tucks Jules into bed.
James, I'm scared.
Shh, don't be scared.
Daddy.
She takes the stuffed seal.
Play a little game, okay, Jules?
I don't want to.
Turn over and go to sleep.
She stares up at him.
Do it.
Jules complies. James grabs the shotgun and aims it at her. Belle enters.
Stop! Don't hurt her.
You wouldn't hurt your brother, would you?
You're not my brother. My brother died 2 years ago, and you know it.
Because of what you did.
He cocks the shotgun, and Belle runs at him. They plummet out the quarter window. A roving view moves through the broken glass to the lawn below. Belle lies atop James. With considerable effort, she climbs off of him. He struggles to breathe. As Belle backs away, her brother looks over at her.
Belle. I can't move. That wasn't me, Belle. You have to believe me. I swear. Please.
James reaches out.
Hold me. I miss you.
She takes his hand.
So sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry about everything. I love you.
Help me. Take me back inside. It's what Mom would have wanted. You don't want to disappoint her, do you? Mom is dead. So is Juliet. All we have is each other now.
His eyes briefly change.
Liar. You're not James. You're a liar.
No.
No.
No. No.
She drags him.
I don't want to die.
He claws at the ground with his free hand. Belle stops and looks at the circle cut in the grass.
It's me, Belle. Why?
A glimpse shows the red room. Belle pulls her brother toward the bounding circle.
Belle!
The words "kill them all" cover the red room walls. Belle drags James over the line and collapses. His body quickly contorts back to its twisted, atrophied form. James looks over at his sister. She buries her face in her arm. Her brother lies still before her.
Belle?
She turns to find Jules approaching.
Belle?
Juliet?
Belle!
Juliet? Oh my God. Hey, let me see you. Are you all right? Are you hurt?
What happened to James?
He was gonna hurt us, baby. But he's in a better place now. I promise. Okay, now listen to me, Juliet. The police are gonna be here really soon, and I'm gonna tell them exactly what happened. But I need you to do the same, okay? James tried to hurt us, and I need you to tell them that. Right, baby?
Yes.
Yeah?
Belle hugs her sister tightly. Jules knits her brow.
Do you think they'll believe us?
Tears streaming down her face, Belle looks up at the shadowy house. News footage plays.
Tragedy has struck once again at 112 Ocean Avenue in Amityville, Long Island. The infamous house where Ronnie DeFeo killed his entire family with a shotgun more than four decades ago. Police are questioning 17-year-old Belle Walker as a person of interest in the brutal murders of her Aunt Candace, her mother Joan, and the death of her brother James. Miss Walker claims that her brother committed the crimes, and her story has been corroborated by her 7-year-old sister, Juliet. A spokesman for the Amityville Police Department said that forensic evidence does point to James as the killer. His fingerprints were found on the murder weapon. But Dr. Ken Milton refutes that claim, stating that James Walker was too weak to get out of bed, let alone stalk his entire family with a shotgun. For 2 years prior to the murders, James was in a coma, a vegetative state. Is this house a source of evil, as legend suggests? Did it awaken and possess James Walker or his sister Belle? For now, the police are left with a horrific unsolved crime. And Amityville, Long Island is once again the center of shock and horror.
A roving view moves away from the house. Fade to black. Remaining opening credits. Casting by Terry Taylor, CSA. Costume designer, Mary Chisholm. Music by Rob. Edited by Patrick McMahon, ACE. Production designer, David Lazan. Director of Photography, Stephen Poster, ASC. Executive producers, Bob Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein, David C. Glasser, Matthew Signer, Keith Levine. Executive producers, Alex Taylor, Matthew Stein. Executive producers, Stephen B. Harris, Jeanette Falterno-Brill, Cooper Samuelson. Executive producers, Randall Emmett, George Furla, Avi Lerner, Paul Mason, Steve Whitney, Ted Fox, Jeff Rice. Executive producer, Mark Moran. Produced by Jason Blum, Daniel Ferens, Casey LaScala. Written and directed by Frank Calfoon. Credits roll. Unit production manager, Mandy Yeager. First assistant director, Matthew L. Henderson. Second assistant director, John David Dennison. Cast. Jennifer Jason Leigh as Joan. Bella Thorne as Belle. McKenna Grace as Juliet. Cameron Monahan as James. Thomas Mann as Terrence. Taylor Spreitler as Marissa. Jennifer Morrison as Candace. Kurtwood Smith as Dr. Milton. Dan Martino as paramedic. Brian Breiter as teacher. Jordan Utz as young Belle. Sabrina Harris as Heather. Stunt coordinator, Keith Woolard. Utility stunts, Nicholas Brett. Clint Jones, Nico Woolard. Jones stunt double, Cassandra McCormick. Bell stunt doubles, Jessica Hartbeck. Bevan K. Franco. James stunt doubles, Zach Rogers. Wyatt Carnell. Joan body double, Jamie Fisher. James body double, V. Nixie. Lead puppeteer, Mike McCarthy. Puppeteer, Beth Hathaway. Co-producer, Philip Daw. Additional music, Philip Giffen. A camera operator, Joshua Harrison, SOC. B camera operator, Rob C. Givens. D camera operator, Scott Ressler. When the Sun Came Down, written by Matthew Caratier and Gregory J. Taieb, performed by Artificial Darkness. True Love, written by Rob and Chloe Alper, performed by Rob and Chloe Alper. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animals were harmed. Copyright 2015, The Weinstein Company, LLC. All rights reserved. The characters and events depicted in this motion picture are fictional, and any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. The Weinstein Company, LLC is the author of this motion picture for the purpose of copyright and other laws. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture, including soundtrack, is prohibited and could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH.